April Fool's Day, an article and a graphic came out that said there was going to be the astronomy versus astrology debate between me and Neil deGrasse Tyson. And if you either studied the beautiful counterfeit kind of postcard designed by Liz Ann Webb, who sauteed it up in about 20 minutes, you would have noticed that I was going to be taking the side debating astronomy, and Neil deGrasse Tyson was going to be on the side arguing for the validity of astrology. And halfway, a couple of paragraphs into the article, I realized, this will be funnier if I'll put a little role reversal in the story. So the story is, you know, full of jokes about Neil deGrasse Tyson, who, by the way, is the, I guess, host of the new version of Cosmos. He's the director of the Hayden Planetarium and a few other bits. And he's got a book called The Pluto Files. I kind of commend him for coming out of the closet as an astrologer. We've all welcomed him to the fold. And, you know, since he's had a hard time getting on TV, since he came out of the closet as an astrologer, I, as an astronomer, agree to host the debate series. A little role reversal there, having some fun with Tyson. And I actually didn't know that that Neil Tyson even had an opinion on astrology. You might laugh. And the way that I found it was I was looking for something in Google one day. I was looking for an article that was written by the Wall Street Journal by a writer named Jane Spencer. Page one article in the Wall Street Journal from the summer of 2006. This Wall Street Journal writer called up a few astrologers. I was one of them. Shelley Ackerman was another one. And gave our position on the whole thing about Eris and Pluto and all this. And so I was looking for that article. And in the process of looking for that article, I was taken to Amazon. Amazon Look Inside, like the thing where you can read part of a book before you buy it. And I found my own name in Neil deGrasse Tyson's book, The Pluto Files. He quotes me. He writes, "The article goes on to quote Ms. Ackerman, Shelley Ackerman, down in Manhattan, for criticizing the International Astronomical Union for not including astrologers in its decision." Shelley's got a sense of humor. "It further quotes Eric Francis of planetwaves.net, thank you for spelling my name right and getting my web address correct, which represents a subgroup of those medieval prognosticators known as minor planet astrologers. Quote, said me, this is a moment I've been waiting for a long time. Close quote, Francis remarks as he welcomes Ceres, Eris, and Charon to the ranks of the dwarf planets, granting horoscope charts extra ways for believers to cede control of their lives to the universe. One correction there, Dr. Tyson. Charon is not a dwarf planet. You are an astronomer. That means astronomer, one who names and categorizes the planets. You're supposed to know that Charon is the binary pair of Pluto. It's not a dwarf planet. Pluto is the dwarf planet. And here really is where my beef with Tyson is. It's really not about astrology. I'm here to challenge Tyson on science, on astronomy. So first, let's play his kind of attempted knockout punch of astrology, which he seems to want to do at every time. Let's just listen to what he has to say. And I'm so sorry the audio is so bad, but that's how it came off the internet.
Astrology. This is what you do. Get a classroom of people, a group of people who are believers. And don't do what they want. This is what you do. Go to the horoscope that day. Pluck one at random. Read it to that audience and say, whose horoscope did I just read? 2/3 of the hands will go up, okay? Which we know is not how that's supposed to work. It should really be 1/12 if it had any sense at all. That's the simplest test that I know to demonstrate to someone that it's just bunk, other than the rational arguments that you might spend time offering, like Where the sun was when you were born doesn't match where it was 2,000 years ago when this got laid out. And the fact that there are 14 constellations in the zodiac, not 12, one of them is Ophiuchus. Any Ophiuchans here? Okay? Some people know they're Ophiuchans. The sun, after passing through Scorpio, spends more time in Ophiuchus than it did in Scorpius. So if you thought you were Scorpion, you're probably Ophiuchan, and all Ophiuchans and Scorpions are currently Librans. That's how that plays out. So.
Oy, oy, oy. The thing with analyzing Tyson's quotes about astrology is that they are so packed with mistakes and misconceptions and simple lack of understanding of even basic history. The difference between the tropical and the sidereal zodiacs, for example, which he refers to at the end, claiming that most Scorpios and Ophiuchans are really Librans or something, is completely ignorant of the facts of, for example, the Babylonians being aware of processional movement, as are all astrologers aware of processional movement. We all know what it is. The dawning of the age of Aquarius is all about processional movement. There wouldn't be a discussion of that, though, even though that deserves another kind of an airing out. And furthermore, that the sky is divided into 12 signs, and the signs are different from constellations. That modern tropical astrology, what we practice in the West, and in addition, sidereal astrology practiced in the East, particularly in places like India and Bangladesh, where they are supposedly said to have more accurate zodiacs because, you know, the sign Libra lines up with the constellation Libra, also use signs. They divide the sky equally into 12 segments. But this is just really kind of off point in a way. Though it's not off point to say he really doesn't know what he's talking about when he criticizes astrology. He is either unaware or pretending not to know that the Ophiuchus thing is a hoax. It is not actually related in any way to astrology or to science. It is a prank. This prank is documented. I've given the history of it as told by Rob Hand and by Jonathan Kaner, who I interviewed for an article called You Are Who You Are, that this is basically a prank done by a science fiction writer and some scientists who just like to give astrology a hard time. But this prank, this hoax, basically has a lot of life to it. I don't want to get into the nature exactly of the hoax, except to say that that's really what Ophiuchus actually is. And if you want to know the story, just read that article called You Are Who You Are. So going to his speech text, the first thing he says is, here's how you can tell astrology is bunk, as he put, by which he means bullshit. That's what they really mean. Pluck one horoscope at random and read it. And read it to a room full of people and ask them who relates that to that. And he speculates that two-thirds will raise their hand and say it's about them. Now, this he uses to prove in his own mind that astrology is not true. A couple of problems here. One is that he didn't say that I have gone from city to city for the last 5 years, and I have at every conference read the Aries horoscope every time I've gone to a speech or a presentation and asked the audience to raise your hand if you relate to it, and I have found that two-thirds of the people relate to it. He didn't say that. He speculated and said, let's pretend you did that. Then let's pretend the two-thirds of the people raised their hands. And if they did in our pretend world, we would then pretend that astrology had no validity. Without offering an explanation in his pretend world of why they might relate to that, whatever that horoscope was. So what we have is someone who is taking up the mantle of science, right? And the mantle of science is bestowed upon those who seek objective proof through repeatable experiments, not through one-time experiments. Something is not a scientific finding until the experiment is repeated. He's not even doing the experiment once. Said another way, he has no data. Now, I recognize this posture of the scientist who claims the mantle of science and takes up the authority of science, but then ultimately has no data to back up their position. And I learned this because it just happens that for a good number of years before I became an astrologer, before I took up the study and practice of astrology, it's more accurately stated, was that my vocation in life was a journalist whose assignment was to debunk scientific fraud. So I've written more articles on the topic of scientific fraud, that is to say, fraud perpetuated by scientists who didn't and don't have data. And therefore, I recognize the posture that Tyson is taking. It is the posture of the authority of science, but with no data to back up his position. And that is not science. Now, where I learned this mode of thought, this particular, let's say, a judo move of debunking fraudulent science, was covering very toxic and deadly chemicals called PCBs and dioxins. And in doing that, it is necessary to see for yourself, for the writer, researcher, to see the difference between someone claiming something with the authority of science and a scientific finding. I'm going to read to you from an interview with an attorney named Paul Merrill, who taught me a lot of what I know about how to do the work that I was doing, and therefore, by extension, the work that I currently do, since I do continue to cover fraud cases. It's really the only thing I'm interested in as an investigative journalist, is fraud. I'm not interested in, you know, whatever. And it has to be fraud where people are actually hurt. So currently I keep my eye on toxins fraud, and lately I've been covering the fraud of land trusts stealing people's homes. So here's what Paul Merrill said. And it's in the context of scientists making the assertion that toxic chemicals are safe. So let's see if you can see the parallel. What Paul said was, this interview, by the way, was in Las Vegas, conducted by the side of a swimming pool, brought my tape recorder and got an earful. Quote, said Paul Merrill, "The bottom line is that their science cannot answer the question about whether the stuff is safe or harmful. There is only a social policy judgment on what to do in the face of missing information. For them to take on the power, to assume the power, to decide for other people what kinds of risks they're willing to take with their health is incredibly arrogant, at the very least, if not evil. Who should decide? Is it really up to this guy, say, for example, a health commissioner? Can he really make that decision for other people? By taking on this facade of science, he's obscuring the real issue because it's not a scientific issue. We have no data at all to say those people who are already weak to begin with are going to be affected the same way as healthy rats are. We can't even scientifically extrapolate from rats to humans. Most of the work that's been done in this area says that humans are much more sensitive than rats, yet we keep using them as experimental test subjects because it's too expensive to test monkeys, which are actually much closer to humans. There's just this incredible number of variables out there, and for someone to get up there and say, there's no hazard, it's just you're either dealing with a fool or a crook. I think it's exposing the fact that these people are claiming that there's no hazard when there's utterly no scientific basis for even making that kind of statement. So I asked him and said, where do you get the wedge in here? And he said, you begin by forcing them to take a position. You begin by getting them to say that it's safe. The next step is asking, what makes you believe it's safe? Let's see your data. There's one of the standard environmentalists' tool of the trade. Let's play, where's your data? Where's your data? It's an easy game to play. Once you get them to start laying out their rationale for saying it's safe, you can start shooting at it. But in terms of if you want to go talk to scientists who really know these issues, on either side of the fence, except for a few hacks who are basically professional witnesses on either side, they're going to tell you that science doesn't have an answer. Their scientific opinion, the opinion of an expert, is nothing like scientific fact at all. What kind of assumptions are they making? Once you can get them out on the table that they're making assumptions like crazy, then you've managed to force to admit them that they're getting out of the realm of a scientist and into the realm of social policy making. Because what kinds of assumptions should be made in the absence of data is very much a social policy judgment, not a scientific judgment. Now, find my notes from before, my minimalist one page of notes. Here they are. So is it clear when we listen to what Tyson is saying about how we would pretend to read a horoscope to a room of people and pretend what data we would get that we are pretending? And why does he need to say that? Why can't he just say, I personally don't agree with horoscope columns? But there's a step he's taking before that, which in his entire presentation, he is reducing all of astrology to a horoscope column. Now, I write horoscope columns. I'm a professional. I've done it for 20 years. I have nothing against horoscope columns when they're done well. But I can tell you there is more to astrology, as we all know, especially if you're listening to Planet Waves FM, than the horoscope column. But he begins with an argumentative mode called reductio ad absurdum. That is where you reduce the entire argument down to one absurd thing. This is connected to a logical fallacy called the straw man fallacy. He sets up the horoscope as a straw man, then he pretends to burn it. So what we have is someone who's claiming to be a scientist, not actually using science. What he's really saying is, I'm a priest, and that's heresy. Now, one would wonder, like, what's really at the bottom of all this? What's the venom? Why is it that after all these years, so many astronomers still have to attack astrology? And I would point out, by the way, that Tyson's predecessor, the creator of the program Cosmos, Dr. Carl Sagan, was offered the opportunity to sign the petition circulated by my former professor, Dr. Paul Kurtz, at the State University of New York at Buffalo, editor of the Humanist magazine, and he approached scientists all over the world to sign a petition saying that astrology, in particular horoscope columns, are bunk. Again, Kurtz, a philosopher, a very intelligent person, must have been aware that he was asking scientists to do something unscientific, to sign a statement where there was no proof either way. And that is why Carl Sagan didn't sign it. He said, this is not a scientific assertion. I'm not going to sign that. It's not a true statement. But lots of scientists, 186 and some 11 Nobel laureates or something, signed this thing, which basically said, you know, astrology is bad for you. Now, the problem here really for Tyson, and I think one of the reasons why, besides astrology being easy to kick when it never gets to respond, I mean, he knows that, that Tyson gets the TV camera shoved in his face all the time. and he knows that there is no one from the astrological position anywhere in sight near a TV camera. The best we get for the moment is Planet Waves FM or some people writing angry blogs. There's no one to rebut him. So it's a one-sided debate. And it sounds like he won the debate, except that here too, there's, you know, this is an unscientific debate. There's only one side. It's like, you know, back in the old USSR, you know, we have an election, but there's only one candidate. My take is that he has a problem with meaning. The thing about astronomy is that it's like this cool thing without much meaning, certainly on the pragmatic level. What you get from astronomy are concepts like the ever-expanding universe and the Big Bang and the multiverse and a bunch of other things. But the question I would ask is, where is the engagement on the human level with what people feel and what they think and what they do? And so one of my main objections to this debate, which is always pushed by the astronomy side, and the reason it's pushed by the astronomy side is that many astrologers are astronomers. At least all the astrologers that I know and work with in the minor planet field must be versed in the new discoveries, the methods of categorization, the times and places of discovery. We're basically astronomers. So we're not going to pick an axe to grind with them. It's always astronomy picking a fight with astrology, but astrology never gets to refute the position of astronomers. And when they make fun of people who seek astrology, they're making fun of the pain the people are in. People come to astrology because they're searching, they want answers, they're confused, they're enmeshed in the human condition, and sometimes they are in a lot of pain and seek out astrology because nothing else has been able to help them. And what I would say to any astronomer or any rational person who wants to make fun of astrology, or a seemingly rational person who wants to make fun of astrologers and people who seek astrology, is when you do that, what you're doing is you're making fun of people's pain. You're not proving anything because you have no proof either way about astrology. What you're doing is you're saying those people who can feel the presence of their own soul, who are in some form of anguish, who want a better life, who want to feel like they're in tune with this vast, beautiful, mysterious cosmos, would go to astrology seeking a conversation, seeking information that perhaps might be mechanistic in terms of, well, you're going to have that transit, so that's going to happen, not my favorite way to do astrology, but really more like what is sometimes called mythopoetic, that we're seeking meaning. And the search for that which we come to astrology for is the search for meaning. And I would ask astronomers what meaning they give us. And if you give us meaning, come on, give us the meaning. And if people are going to search for meaning somewhere else, let them search for the meaning anyplace else in peace. But it's only because there's that sort of overlay, because astronomy comes out of astrology. There wasn't really a science of astronomy till, I guess, around like the 15th century, when people actually started focusing the topics and categorizing and discovering things like the moons of Jupiter. I guess that was the winter of 1609. And there were astronomers before that, but it was the astrologers who were so accustomed to dealing with the oppression of the church that we were able to preserve the data, preserve the ephemeris, when science came under attack from the church, because it was scientists who were called heretics in the early days of science. Astrologers were used to having their books burned. We were used to being kicked around by the church. And so when the bad times came, the Inquisition and all this, we knew what to do. And if it were not for us during those times, the ephemeris would not exist. And now they can point to where the planets are, and they've grown up, and they've become a big, well-funded thing with telescopes and missions and robots that go to Pluto. And they like to forget that we astrologers are the keepers of the tradition from which astronomy came. They would not name their planets after mythological figures. Otherwise, they would just leave them with numbers. So that's what I have to say. I think that what Tyson is really doing is not damaging astrology with his ridiculous statements. What he is doing is he is damaging the credibility of science by making statements that he cannot prove, nor has he sought to prove them. He is just basically being bigoted. All Italians have breath that smells like garlic. That is the nature of his argument. And I don't know if Neil Tyson ever wants to have this conversation, but I think that there needs to be room made in the culture for some response. So I've just made some, and I'm planning to do it again, and I've contacted Tyson a number of times, but he is, I believe, completely unswayable. The issue is not Tyson. The issue is the networks that have the space to broadcast him, who only broadcast a tiny part of the conversation. Let's listen to Jeff Bujak. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to play some music, but there has not been a scientific study saying that this is good music. I am purely speculating when I say that it is. that